Yeah, boy.
Whoa, it has a thing on there. I said, yeah, boy, thinking that it was over. It was just beats.
No, it's not.
It has a thing on there. You want to redo this?
I had
this
a thing on it. No, it's all right.
Is that cool?
It's fine.
I interrupted it.
It's fine.
Oh.
That's going to be
I like it.
That's going to be the new intro from now on.
I like it a lot.
Well, thanks.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it. I like it a lot. I know what that's from.
Yep.
It's from Jurassic Park. Ian Malcolm. Ian Malcolm says it to the girl. Ian Malcolm says that to the girl when he's talking about he puts the water drip on her hand.
Okay.
And it runs down the other way, and he says, "I like it. I like it a lot."
Oh yeah.
He says that to her.
Okay. Well, hey everybody, it's time for some action features. Episode
61. 62.
I think that's what you said last time, and it was like 62 that time.
63 this time, maybe.
I think it's.
You know what? Crowd participation. We're going to have it just blank. Just leave it blank from now on, and you get to make it whatever episode number you want.
Yeah, okay. I'm not even going to look it up.
Whatever episode number
whatever episode
you
this
want.
Is. You clicked on it. You know what episode it is. I put the episode numbers in them when I put them up.
You're keeping track.
I don't have to tell you. You know
no,
what episode you're
No, we're not
going to
talk about that right now.
Come on. Don't be stupid. All right. It's a free-for-all episode.
Really free-for-all.
Really free-for-all.
Cool.
Because we had no ideas that we're just like... Flat out, hey, let's do that this time.
Nothing really.
There were a couple little random things. We're like, we'll just put all those random things together and make it in one episode.
We're going to do it.
We might have a special guest. We might not have a special guest. Who knows?
I want to say that there's a chance we don't get a hold of him, but I can't imagine
I
that
can't
we're
imagine
not going to get a hold of him.
He's not available to talk to us tonight. So we'll get to that. You want to do that now or you want to do that later?
No, let's not. Let's do that. Let's wait. Let's wait on that.
All right. I'm just going to jump into random things. Kickstarter, The Legends of the Cthulhu line.
Cthulhu!
That looks so cool.
Just fine.
They hit their $60,000 today. There's these guys that got together, and they made a Kickstarter to do their own line.
How much longer do they have?
They still have like 27 days to go.
Okay.
This Legends of the Cthulhu line, as if the line was based on the H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu stuff, as if it came out back in like 1980... You know, all these retro lines. But they did it really well. Like, their packaging is painted by Ken Kelly. The sculpt is by the guy that, like, sculpted a bunch of vintage masters and turtles and stuff like that. He knows this style.
Everything they're doing.
The coloring book, the cup, everything about it is perfect. This is the best figure Kickstarter I've seen so far. I do love that Fresh Monkey Fiction.
Oh, heck yeah.
That line. And it's great for what it is, too. But... Everything around this, it was just like so well done.
Well,
like,
doing that,
all the extra
doing that
stuff
commercial
really helped
like
to push it over.
Seems like they recorded it on an old
like a
cassette.
VHS. Yeah, it was really well done. I still haven't bought into the line. I'm really, really tempted to.
They've
shown their first stretch goal because now they have stretch goals. Now that they've hit the 60,000 they needed to make the line, they've shown the first stretch goal figure, and it's like a clear green Spawn of Cthulhu figure. Anybody that backed them at certain levels already gets that figure. They get that one, too. And that's great. And then there's another level and another level. And if they hit, I think, 200,000, it's going to be like a giant Cthulhu figure, which is super cool. So go to Kickstarter and look up Legends of Cthulhu. And that's C-T-H-U-L-H-U, in case you don't want to spell Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
But even if you're not even going to back it, I just want you to check out this Kickstarter because how well done it is and everything surrounding it. It's just so cool to look at. Had you not known that these figures were made nowadays, you would think this entire line was made back in 1981.
Yeah, I would have been fooled.
Really well done.
I didn't know about Cthulhu.
You didn't know about H.P. Lovecraft. You didn't know.
Well, I
knew
about H.P. Lovecraft. I knew about H.P. Lovecraft.
But you didn't know about Cthulhu.
I didn't.
Well, now you do.
It's brand new to me.
On the bad side of toys, the baby Skeletor figure went up, which is another brainchild of Scott Knightlick and the
Wait, what is it?
Robot Chicken Guys. It's a baby doll with Skeletor's head for $35.
What?
It's a baby Skeletor. They took one of their baby dolls at Mattel, and since there was a baby Skeletor and a Robot Chicken skit, Scott and I got together with the Robot Chicken Guys again and decided to do another Motu Robot Chicken thing, and it's a baby doll with a Skeletor head. And it's pretty much universally panned online, and for somehow it magically sold out again today. When it went up today, it magically sold out. I have no doubt in my mind that this is another one of the fake sellouts to generate Which don't come back with you're such a disbeliever, you're such a doubter, and all those things. It's been proven time and again that they do fake sellouts.
You don't say that to my friend James.
Yeah,
you don't say it.
So you can't tell me this thing was so panned online and that it somehow magically sold out. I just don't buy it. They've done this so many times in the past with the fake sellout thing that I have no doubt that this has happened again. It's just ridiculous to me. And in the description, it said for the true Motuk fans. What does this have anything to do with Motuk? It's not a Motuk buck. It has nothing to do with the Motuk storyline. It has nothing to do with Motuk. But somehow he put that in there to try and help sell it. I don't know.
It's for the true fans.
Thumbs down, baby Skeletor. The Dumb and Dumber 2 trailer came up. I'm just running through them, man.
Slow down.
I'm not going to slow down.
This is going to be a 15-minute episode.
Oh, okay.
Well,
what do you think about the baby Skeletor?
I don't like it.
It's dumb.
I think it's stupid. It'd be one thing if they were like $5 figures that they were just, you know, putting out in stores and that was a bonus thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one thing.
It's $35 baby doll.
But, you know, with all the other problems, I kind of just, whatever,
yeah.
You know.
They talk all the time about these whatever. Resources and these tooling dollars and all this different stuff. And they always somehow excuse it by saying like, oh, well, that's from a different budget. Oh, well, that's from a different budget. Well, why can't you just get those different budgets to chip in on the things you need for this line? Instead of using those different budgets for stuff that nobody wants, why don't you use those different budgets and get some stuff that people do want?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows how they're running things at Mattel.
Why don't you take the baby Skeletor dollars and put it towards the Filmation Hordak head? Why didn't you do that instead?
I think the last few years of Maddie Collectors is going to wind up being a prank. It's gonna be an elaborate prank on people.
Yeah, it's a big joke.
Which brings to mind Dumb and Dumber 2.
I heard the trailer hit. Oh,
Dumb and Dumber 2.
T.O.
I gotta tell you, there's some things that were not that funny in it.
No,
but I laughed during the trailer.
I did too.
I was laughing out loud during the trailer.
I was too.
I LOL'd.
And it was, you know,
during
for
the
Dumb
trailer.
And Dumber,
so that's.
There are some jokes in Dumb and Dumber that, if I were to go back and rewatch it, I would think were just as kind of, okay, well, that's a corny joke. Just like there were some corny jokes in this trailer. But there's so many things in Dumb and Dumber that I laugh at that weren't like, in your face, here's a joke.
Yeah.
Just like little faces they make or little like movements or things like that. And that was some of the big laughs I got out of this trailer. We were cracking up at the bike ride scene.
Yeah.
We were cracking up at that.
Just seeing him be that character again.
It's great.
Both of them. Being those characters again.
I'm super excited about that.
I think it's going to be funny.
I told my wife last night after we watched the Jimmy Fallon thing, the whole thing with him in the trailer and everything. I said, this may end my movie theater drought.
That was really funny, too.
Oh, that was great. I haven't been in the movie theater in quite a while now. I was going like pretty frequently for a while then. I haven't gone for movies that I thought I would go to see, like Captain America 2. I thought I would be there to see that. Thor 2, I thought I would go see that. I didn't see that. It's been like a real long spell, but I really want to see Dumb and Dumber 2. I might go see it.
I think you should.
I think I will. I think I'm going to.
Imagine laughing out loud in the trailer.
Imagine chuckling to yourself.
In the theater. Think about LOLing.
Think about LOLing.
All over.
Think about ROTFLO.
I'm going to ROFTLO right all over.
There's going to be so many R's and O's.
All over the theater.
And then the T's and the F's will be everywhere. Another movie there was a trailer hit today was the Birdman trailer, the Michael Keaton Birdman movie.
I've been talking about that for so long.
It's been a long time. I kind of forgotten that it was going to be a theater movie. I kept going back and forth. I'm like, oh, is this just like an art film or what? But it looks like it's like really serious. You know,
it's a dark comedy.
Yeah,
it looked more dark than comedy, but
I'm hoping this is like...
It's hard to tell what it's going to be
maybe
like.
Maybe the recognition for Keaton, finally, as an actor. Like, will this be his moment where maybe he finally gets, like, an award? You know, like an Academy Award.
I wonder why
like
he
that.
Doesn't take more things. Maybe he's just not getting
he
offered, but
to.
I think
like,
he's
he
got,
just takes what he wants.
He's got the chops.
He really does. I really want to see it. In case anyone doesn't know what the film's about, it's about a guy that played an iconic superhero in film. And then he's kind of stuck as that, and then you know, in the public's eye, and he wants to do this Broadway play, but he's kind of wrestling with the demons of being Birdman and how the public perceives him as Birdman. It's kind of his journey to do this thing, and the trailer doesn't seem like it spells it out as much. It seems like
it's
really psychological
very,
when it comes
vague
to
in the trailer.
Yeah, I think it looks cool.
I thought it was cool because
he was Batman.
He was Batman.
Yeah, it's a good play off that.
It also reminds me of the Grey Ghost, what the Grey Ghost, the guy, you know, went through in that episode. So you have like a double correlation with Batman there. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's cool that he's playing it.
I want to see that. What else you got?
Well, I'm going to talk about Hugh Jackman. Shaved his head because he's going to be in a movie prequel to Peter Pan's story.
I thought it was going to be like Blackbeard or something like that. Is he Captain Hook?
Well, I heard Blackbeard too.
Yeah.
And I haven't read the Peter Pan book, so maybe it's Blackbeard in the book. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's supposed to be a prequel. Maybe he's just playing. Maybe they have like several pirates. Maybe Blackbeard is in the.
Maybe he is.
But it just reminded me that I'm so sick of prequels now.
Mm-hmm.
You take a classic story and say, hey, let's try and unfold all the origins of all this stuff. No, nobody wants to know that. There's a reason why they started the story when they did.
There's a reason it starts with Darth Vader.
That's right. There's a reason it starts with Darth Vader being who he is. You don't need to know all the... you don't want to see him as a child. You don't want to see him eating an ice cream cone or doing whatever, because it ruins the mythos that surrounds the character. It ruins the mystery and all that stuff. So stop doing prequels. Hollywood needs to really just fire everybody that works there. Fire everybody. And say, does anybody have an idea? Who has an idea for a movie that has nothing to do with anything else that's already been done? Does anybody have that?
I've had this discussion, too, where different like He-Man fans talking about Skeletor's origin and how they wanted to go back and tell Skeletor's origin, and, oh, he's this, and the bios made him like the sympathetic character and all these things. And I'm like, man, I really don't want to know some of these bad guys' storylines if it's just going to make me feel sympathetic towards them. Sometimes it's okay for an evil guy
to just be evil.
Just be evil. You know, like, I don't need to hear the backstory of how you were abused as a child, or you were this, or you were that, or you were this. Sometimes it's okay to just see him and go, like, that's the bad guy. You know?
Yep.
I know you don't like the bad guys.
I don't.
You don't want anybody to buy the bad guys.
Don't get bad guys for
your
collection.
Don't collect the bad guys. But sometimes I like to see the bad guys and make them just be bad guys. You know?
Yeah.
That's my thing.
It's
okay.
That's my thing.
So I like 90s Batman comics. You know that.
I've heard that.
You know that. Late 80s, early 90s. It's a good time, I think, for Batman comics. Well, the introduction of the Tim Drake Robin.
What characters were introduced there?
Bane, you know.
Tim Drake Robin?
Azrael.
I like Azrael.
Yeah, the Nightfall series.
I like the series.
Well, one of my favorite teams back then was the guys that handled the Robin miniseries.
Robin Man.
1, 2, and 3.
The Robin Man.
Tom Lyle, the artist, and Chuck Dixon, the writer. And they've both kind of come back a little bit now. Tom Lyle just did this, the art for the story in this Legend of the Dark Knight thing. It was like a digital thing, and they do a reprint. And that just came out, and looking at it and reading it, it was just a ton of fun. It felt like seeing an old friend, because it had like Tom Lyle penciling Batman and Robin kind of the way they used to look back in the early 90s. And Mike Barr wrote it, and it was kind of just like a fun Batman and Robin story. And it was like, wow, this feels great, man. I haven't gotten to read like a Batman Robin story in a while and just feel like it was that same continuation of those characters.
Did this one feel like that to you?
It did feel like that. I was really super happy about it. So I was really excited to see Tom Lyle back in a book, and I think he's doing a Wonder Woman digital thing now soon. So I'd really like to see more of that kind of art. I think nowadays art is a little too crazy. It's just, you know, they've gone so far away from what I think the art was looking like then, during the 80s and into the early 90s, and now it's all the same kind of superstar artists that have this style, and all of them try to mimic that style, or it gets crazy with the looks and stuff like that. It's just kind of, I don't really dig a lot of the art nowadays for the comics. There's a lot of good artists.
It seems, just from what when I thumb through something, it always feels very processed.
Oh, the computer coloring especially. And you're looking at this, and it's sometimes tough to distinguish some of these guys because they're aping each other's style so much. And it's just like, man, I liked it back then when you could look at a book and go, that's that artist. Nowadays, it's like, is that artist trying to be that other artist, or is that artist? And, I mean, there are so many artists back then that I could just look at right then and go, that's that guy, that's that guy. And it would just jump out like, oh, that's Tom Lyle. I really like his
that's
art.
That's Rob Liefeld there.
Butch Geis, I really like his art.
That's
Rob Liefeld. I really don't like his
that's
art,
Rob
but
Liefeld.
I could tell it was his.
yeah, you could.
Yeah, so... So that was really interesting to me that he was back. And then on the other front, Chuck Dixon, who was the writer on that, he had just wrote this article for the Wall Street Journal. And it's getting kind of blasted from some groups and kind of embraced by other groups. And I'm kind of right in the middle with it in that I do agree with a lot of things he said. He's just like, he used to be really heavy in the comics, and he wrote a ton of things, and he just kind of went away. And he said the reasoning was is that he made a political stance to the DC Comics or whatever it was when they tried to get him to write a storyline about AIDS into a comic. And he came up, and I may be telling this wrong, but this is what I inferred and from what I remember reading about this. He came back and said, I really don't think that's appropriate in a kid's comic. I don't want to do that storyline. I'd rather this just be, because kids are going to read this too,
yeah.
And I'd rather this just be a comic. I don't really feel like it's a time to force this political agenda into this comic. I'd rather it just be a comic. And that's when he stopped getting work. And he said, at least according to him, that's when he stopped getting work.
I believe it.
I do believe it as well. I think
I've seen it happen.
I think it happens a lot. When you take
fields.
A stand, either way. I mean, it goes both ways.
Sure.
If you make a stand one way, you can stop getting work. If you make a stand the other way, you can stop getting work. So it's just like, I'm not saying that either group does it more than another group. I'm saying it happens across the board to both people. So he came forward and he said, and I really would like to come back to a time in comics where we're not trying to force our political views or our agendas into these books and just let them be embraced by all ages. And again, this is what I'm gleaning from what I'm reading, and I don't have direct quotes or anything like that. And find the Wall Street Journal article and read it for yourself. But it, stemming in from my own view of it, I do miss those times, and I do agree that both of these companies try to force that into their comics a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, back in the day, you would get an issue where it's like, oh, we're dealing with the drug issue. And that's that issue, and we're going to deal with drugs. But then it would be like a huge run of the book that wouldn't have anything to do with that. It would just be superhero comics being superhero comics.
Right.
And nowadays, it seems like every book has an agenda. And they're always announcing, well, this is happening in this book now. Oh, look, we're doing something cutting edge. Look what we've done now. Oh, and look what we're doing with this character now. And it's just like a lot of that where it's just like, okay, when does the superhero book start? Because so far all you're doing is all this other stuff that you're trying to force these views that really don't have anything to do with what kids should be worried about right nowadays. You know,
right.
if you want this book to be embraced by all ages, but that's because they're focusing all of their energies into embracing these adult 20-plus
themes.
That want those kind of things. And it's like, that's not fair, man. Comics weren't made for that group. They were made for kids.
Well,
and comics and adults have kind of grown with them, but that doesn't mean you need to take them away from kids.
I would say also that the point is sort of a bit of escapism.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just rehashing everything that happens in real life all the time anyway, it's not very fun.
Yeah.
Especially for superheroes. I mean, I understand if you're doing like a detective comic or something, you're going to deal with more real life issues. But for all these things, you know, all troubled Superman. Superman's got, you know, he's got remorse over whatever. You know, whatever.
Oh, he's going to renounce his citizenship.
Oh, something is that, like that. That, what happened?
That was one of the storylines where he renounced his citizenship.
Yeah.
And that's just too much.
It's edgy.
Man. Yeah, that's because it's edgy.
Well,
you know?
Don't need it.
It's just, it's too much. And yeah, what you just said, I've said that to my friends before too, where it's like, I get plenty of my real life in my real life.
Yeah.
And plenty of my real world problems in the real world. I go to comics because I want to go to a different world where it's like superheroes and stuff like that. Or I just want to enjoy, I want to see Batman catch the Riddler. That's what I want to see.
That's what you want to see.
I want to see Riddler come up with this elaborate trap and catch him. I want to see Batman the Animated Series, but in a comic book form.
You don't want to see
that kind of thing.
You don't want to see 16 and pregnant, the comic book.
I don't
book.
Want to see that. And Chuck Dixon's guilty of that, too. He did the whole storyline where Spoiler became pregnant, and that was in the comic. But he's kind of gone both ways in what he's done. But I do understand what his point is in that these comics are used as a vehicle to... you know, put forth a lot of political views and a lot of views on current happenings in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just, it becomes, I think, too much. And you lose the comic book part of it to, you know, force these other things out there.
I think people just have a hard time separating. Like, they cannot separate their ideas because they think that everybody else needs to have the same thing.
Exactly.
And if they don't do their part for it, you know, then they're not going to feel like... I don't know. Maybe they feel like they're wasting time or whatever. But there are different avenues, you know.
To do those things.
I don't say everything that I want to say on this podcast. You know, this mm-hmm. is not the place for
definitely. We talked before we started the show. Like, we didn't want to like offend anyone or you know go too far with any kind of viewpoints when we first started doing the show.
Yeah.
It was that we didn't want to go too far and alienate any kind of groups or. You know, say we believe in this and we do that and we do this because we just want it to be like a fun discussion on things without impressing our view.
Yeah, we're here to talk. I mean,
too much onto things.
Talk about pop culture and fun things and whatnot. And I'm not going to come in here and talk about, you know.
Yeah, this is not
politics
a soapbox
and faith
for that.
And you know anything
and
else.
The comic book
it's not
be a
really,
soapbox for that.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's
I agree with what Chuck Dixon said there, and I kind of applaud him for making that stand and saying, you know what, it's okay for a comic just to be a comic.
Good job, Chuck Dixon.
Yeah.
We salute you.
Let's move back to that, because I miss those times. When I was a kid, I could just go into a comic shop and I could pick up a book.
Pick up
and I didn't have to have my dad look at it first.
Right, you didn't have to be proofread.
Yeah, I have to proofread all the books I give the kids to make sure that the content is appropriate. I mean, they put these ratings on the books, but even then...
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that the rating, it's like, well, I don't know if really the rating any matters. I don't know what agenda you're forcing down here.
Right.
And whether it's a viewpoint I agree with or not, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I don't agree with some of the views that are expressed in these comics. What I'm saying is that I don't want that given to my kid and informing his view of
it
as a child
right.
to go, here's the view you're going to have. Here it is inside this book. I don't want it to go either way. I want him to be old enough to make his own decisions about those things. And not have it seated in him by comic books.
Right.
You know, I want that decision to be in my hands, the parent, and not in the hands of that comic book. And it's just weird that a medium that was meant for kids, now you have to go, okay, let's proofread all the books and see what we can take out of here that can actually be read by a kid that really just wants to read a superhero book. He doesn't want to have political viewpoints and all these different things forced on him. He just wants to read a comic book. And that's what I want him to be able to read, is just read a comic book.
Sometimes, you know, at certain ages, it's very subversive, too, because they don't know that they're getting that. They don't know that they're getting...
Exactly.
Seeds planted for certain, maybe, viewpoints or political viewpoints or whatever. So they're getting that, and so by the time it comes to, you know, they get older and they start hearing things, they're like, oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Because their view's been colored. Like,
yeah.
It's been colored by...
It's like hiding the vitamins in candy or something like that, where it's
yeah.
like, okay, yeah, you're getting him to take it, but he doesn't know he's taking it. You're hiding it inside something else.
I like the chewy vitamins.
I do, too. And I don't want that to be. When I want to have that talk with my kid and have his discussion on different things, you know, in the, you know, the way the world goes nowadays,
right.
and the way everything happens, I want that decision and that talk between us and me and my wife, and not... Oh, what does this mean in this comic book that I just read? Oh, okay, well, now I get to have that talk with you about this situation or that situation
yeah.
or this thing or that thing because you've read a comic book and it's in there. And so now DC Comics or Marvel or whoever has decided that now is the time where I get to have that talk with you about
Image
this.
Image Comics.
It's just, it's not fair,
Image,
you know?
Image Comics is changing the world.
They're changing the worlds.
Much in the same way that... much in the same way that Trendmasters, the toy company, changed the world.
Much in the same way they did that.
All right. Speaking of vitamins, is there just anybody out there still taking like vitamins in pill form or chewable tablets or something? Because they make gummy vitamins, you know.
Yeah,
they're delicious. It's like
yeah,
having
I don't know
a
why
snack.
You would have like those nasty ones.
Why do you want ones that taste?
Why
bad?
Do you want something to taste good?
Have a chewy vitamin.
If you're given the choice between something that tastes good and something that tastes bad. Which one are you going to choose?
Why wouldn't you have the gummies?
You would take the one that tastes good.
They cost a little bit more. I could see somebody maybe, you know, trying to save with the chewables or swallowable
yeah,
vitamins,
well,
but
come on.
Seems to me
spend
like
spend a couple extra bucks.
If you're going if you're still taking vitamins, then you have the ability to take a chewable.
You can
take a gummy.
You can buy the chewable.
A gummy.
The generic gummies. They're still better than those.
They're still better.
All right. So here's the two things we got left to talk about here. What time is it right now?
I've got a couple, and we've got a phone call to make.
Oh, you have some left. I didn't know you still had stuff left.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring things down with that comic talk, but I just felt like it was on my mind.
You never know where the show's going to go.
It was on my mind.
You never know where it's going
to
go.
Well, guys, if you're down in the dumps, wait until you hear the next thing Mike has to say.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
Okay. Harrison Ford has injured his ankle.
That's not the hilarious
You didn't know that. You didn't know I was going to say that.
No, I didn't.
No, seriously, though.
He severed it completely.
He severed his ankle.
Completely severed his ankle. He's now 3 inches shorter on one side.
Yep.
Yeah. That's okay, though. He lives in a Star World. There's no gravity.
There's no
float.
No gravity in Star World. but seriously, he did injure himself. So, Harrison, we wish that for a speedy recovery.
I heard it was on the door to the Millennium Falcon.
I don't know. Stuff happens.
That's what I read. It was on the door to the Millennium Falcon.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, like maybe the landing ramp or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe it was
down
up a little bit,
maybe?
Or maybe he was
maybe tripped on it.
Yeah, I mean, he's 71. I mean,
they got it wasn't Mark. That's all I got to say.
He's tough, you know, but it's just like. Yeah.
As long as Mark Hamill's okay, everything's all right.
He's looking pretty
Mark
good,
Hamill's
by the
looking
way.
Awesome.
He looks like that.
He looks so cool right now, man.
Just like I hoped older Luke
I'm
Skywalker
really excited. He got in shape. He's got the beard going. He's got like a dark look to his face, you know, like kind of a darkness.
Yeah, and that one picture with Mickey Mouse, you could just see something in his eyes
dark.
Where he's like...
He's like, look, he's I'm like, a Jedi now.
I'm giving my last...
This is my last hurrah
this is it.
So, I'm excited. Cool. They had this cool thing, too, where he was at that Disney thing, and I told you about this a little bit, where somebody sent a question, and, hey, can you do an exchange between Joker and Luke,
mm-hmm.
as if Joker was Luke's father? And he did it, and he like did the voices, he was sitting there,
yeah, on the spot.
And his face changes when he does Joker, and he does these movements and stuff like that. It was just really cool. I'm like, man, look at this guy.
Joker
he's
voice.
Luke Skywalker, and he's the best Joker voice, ever. It's just... This guy, man, look at Mark Hamill.
He can act, you know.
He really can.
I'm just excited for him to have a chance to
be in front of the camera,
be on screen once more, and like really prove, like, okay, this is a
he gets dissed a lot,
you know, quote modern movie that he's gonna have to act in.
We had this discussion
when we talked about the Star Wars. Yeah,
and we did. Where he gets dissed a lot for his acting, and I think he's great, and he is. His evolution of his character has more than any other ones in the film, and you really see the change in his character, and that's acting, man. And then his same with his Joker. It's like a lot of people don't even know he's the Joker. Like they have to be told that Mark Hamill. Oh yeah, he was the voice of the Joker in this. I mean, not the nerd people and the geek people like us, but like the outside people.
Yeah,
they don't know that.
It's not common knowledge.
That's acting, man. That's not just doing a voice. He's really acting there. Yeah. You know, so it's like.
He didn't really get a fair shake in any films after Star Wars. I mean, he didn't get a chance to prove himself in any other way, really. I mean, he was in a few movies, but nothing like...
In little small ones. He got kind of typecast, it felt like, as Luke Skywalker, and the roles didn't happen as much for him.
Well, it's, you know, it's too
bad. But yeah, this is his chance to show, like, dude, he's not just a whiny guy that you want to say he is from the original Star Wars trilogy. He's Luke Skywalker, dude.
Come on.
All right, what else you got?
What do you have?
Well, I got that thing I wanted to do with my wife in the movies, but do you want to wait on that?
Well, let's do that.
You want to do that now, or you have something else? You have one more thing?
We'll just have one more thing. Would you consider that like a finale thing? You want to end on that?
No, I want to end on this phone call.
Oh, okay. So do your thing, and then...
Okay.
And then we'll talk.
So my wife and I were having a discussion because I don't remember the guy's name, and now I feel bad, but the actor that played... Drop Dead Fred just recently passed away.
He did.
He did the young ones overseas.
Was his name Fred?
No, it was.
You know what? I used
to
love Drop Dead Fred.
I never did.
I tried when I was young.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny. It was great. I tried to watch it in recent years, and it's terrible.
It's not good.
It's really a hard to watch.
It's really not good. I'm just gonna flat out say it. It's not good.
It's really.
I love Phoebe Cates.
I love Phoebe Cates too.
The movie's no good.
She can't save it.
No. So, my wife said, we were talking about that, she's like, I heard Drop Dead Fred died. And I was like, I heard that.
He couldn't have been that old.
He's like his 50s, maybe, I'm going to say.
Okay.
I said, I heard that. That's sad.
A legend.
And she's like, I love that movie. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I love Drop Dead Fred. What are you talking about? That movie's great.
Well, wait, maybe she hasn't seen it in decades.
I don't know. But she's seen it multiple times.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've watched that movie a ton of times. I love that movie. I'm like, wait a second here. You've watched Drop Dead Fred a ton of times?
I mean, she's sneaking in at night.
And she's like, yeah, I watched it a ton of times. I'm like, okay. And it called to my mind all the movies that we've talked about that she has not seen.
Yeah.
So during the times where she was watching Drop Dead Fred multiple times,
yeah.
She was not watching Tombstone. Jurassic Park.
What? She's never seen Jurassic Park?
She's not seen Jurassic Park.
What?
Stripes. Groundhog's Day. Animal House. Say Anything. Better Off Dead.
For a girl to not have seen
The Shawshank Redemption.
Wow.
Okay, so... So all the time she was watching Drop Dead Fred, she missed out on those.
That's too bad.
All the time she was watching Little Monsters and loving it. Because she loves that one, too. She wasn't watching Pulp Fiction. Die Hard. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Some of these are heartbreaking.
Any of the Rocky films. Any of the Rambo films. Alien. Aliens. Monster Squad. The 1989 Batman.
Well, hold on a second. She hasn't seen that movie?
She's not sat through the whole thing with me. She started to watch some of it with me, but didn't finish it.
That's...
The Christopher Reeve Superman film. She hasn't seen that.
Yeah.
Our kid is named... Our second child is named after the 1989 Batman film and the Christopher Reeve Superman film. She hasn't seen either one all the way through.
She doesn't need to for the name. She didn't need to see that.
You know what? She hasn't seen Terminator 1 or 2, but she's seen Terminator 3.
You probably took her to the... You went to the theater.
I didn't take her to that.
Oh.
Well, maybe I did take her to that. I took my dad to that. I can't remember.
I remember you saw it in the theater.
Too.
That's all I remember.
Maybe I did take her too. But that just boggled my mind. That
a lot
she's
of movies.
Seen Terminator 3, but not seen Terminator 1 and 2. How do you go through life? I just kept looking at this list, and there were more. I mean, this is only the ones I wrote down.
I'm sure.
I just don't understand. I mean, she was born in 81. I don't know how you go through life and not see these movies.
You're missing a lot.
She just saw It's a Wonderful Life for the first time like 2 years ago because I was like, we have to watch this.
I've only seen pieces of that myself.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, that's a little different than
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark. How have you not seen Indiana Jones? She's not seen any of the Indiana Jones films.
Right.
She's not seen a Rambo film.
Say Anything.
She's not seen Die Hard.
Saying Anything was being played at least 3 times a week on Star 64.
I can guarantee
all
you right now, I can turn on my TV at home and I'll find a channel that has Shawshank Redemption on.
Yeah.
There's a channel that's showing Shawshank Redemption right now. She's not seen it. Pulp Fiction? That was a phenomenon that year.
That was a...
She didn't bother with it. No, I'm going to go ahead and watch Little Monsters again.
I've got this on VHS. Why would I go to the theater?
I couldn't see that, but Drop Dead Fred, I think, it's been on for like a half an hour. I can still catch the good parts.
The good parts.
There's no good parts. It was just ridiculous. I thought it was funny.
That's funny.
And so I wrote them down, and I was like, I gotta tell them like this. It's ridiculous, man.
Bobby. She's probably not even listening right now.
She won't listen. She stopped listening like 30 episodes ago.
Well, if I could tell her, I would say, Bobby, you gotta remedy some of these things.
Groundhog's Day.
Some of these movies are...
They're classic.
Are classic for females and male. I mean, they're...
I agree. There's a lot of male movies on here.
Yeah, but
stuff like Stripes, Groundhog's Day, Animal House, Say Anything, Better Off Dead, Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction, those are...
Yeah.
Either sex can enjoy that movie.
They both can. We both can.
Jurassic Park! Jurassic Park, man!
Everybody saw that movie.
Can you believe that?
Everybody saw that movie.
Everybody saw it. Everybody wanted to see the dinosaurs.
They had to see it.
That was one of the first movies I can remember going to the theater multiple times
also
to see.
Also a phenomenon.
It was just... Jurassic Park. When I got the VHS, I watched it every night.
Yeah.
For like a straight month. I just kept watching Jurassic Park. She didn't see it one time. Not once.
Oh. Something's got to change here.
This makes me think... That I mean, she says that she likes Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah.
And she likes Little Monsters, and I think maybe it's because she hasn't seen any other movies.
Maybe that's why.
She doesn't know other movies are good. She doesn't know other movies. So it gets me worried that maybe she chose me because she just hadn't met better people yet. So I was just like, oh, well, he's fine. I'll watch him a few times. I'll just watch him again.
Yeah,
I'll just date him again.
As far as I know, there's nothing better out.
There's nothing better out there.
As far as I know.
There's definitely not a Jurassic Park out there for me to watch.
No.
I'll just go on a date with him.
Let's go on another date.
Let's just go on another date. I've got nothing better going on.
I've got everything I need.
It's just fine. I'm content with just this.
I've had croissants. No butter.
This is a proven commodity. I know it's good. I'm just going to stick with this. I don't want to branch out. I'm cool right here.
Proven.
Yeah.
It was proven. Drop Dead Fred is good. She was given.
She watched it once and enjoyed it.
She was given a VHS as a kid. And that was it.
That's great.
They had two VHSs. Maybe her parents.
One was Terminator.
Terminator 3. Maybe
I thought you meant at the video store.
No. Yeah. I'm saying maybe her parents were real into knickknacks.
Yeah.
So the shelving space that was normally allotted.
It was just the two VHSs.
Here's a
urn. Little monsters.
Here's a
drop dead fern.
A fern. Here's a Buddha statue. Here's a fan from the Orient.
That was another.
Here's
one.
A candle burner.
Yeah.
We've got just two spaces left, probably. Drop Dead Fred's going to have to go there.
She also loves and will repeatedly watch Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I hate Rocky Horror Picture Show. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't think she's seen Clue, though. I don't think she's seen Stephen King's It.
She should see Clue.
She hasn't seen other Tim Curry films.
Has she seen Legend?
She'll just keep watching Rocky Horror Picture Show for her Tim Curry quotient.
You know what I realized?
What's that?
Legend is really good.
Legend's great.
It's a really, really,
really
good film.
It really is great. Yeah.
I liked it when I was younger, and I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
But it's a really good film.
All right, so there was that. I just wanted to share that. Well, and I love my wife, and I'm not getting out of my wife. She's very funny in that movie. She chooses to watch.
It's very funny. Okay. You want to... Well, what I was going to say is, speaking of Jurassic Park...
Yeah.
You know, Jurassic World is coming out.
It's a Jurassic World.
There's going to be a Jurassic World.
They showed some pictures from it today.
I know.
No dinosaurs.
Well, I didn't see any dinosaurs.
There are no dinosaurs in the pictures.
No. But what I did see was Chris Pratt looking pretty cool.
Looking really cool on the motorcycle.
With his Triumph motorcycle. Yeah. And it's like a green color, so I'm wondering if they're going to try and do like a Great Escape type homage or something. But anyway, that piqued my interest a little bit.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, like... I like him. I'm realizing now that I would like to see him get more like serious roles because he was very funny on Parks and Recreation.
He's been funny in the Guardians of the Galaxy trailers.
But yeah, he's been funny in that, but also kind of tough in some scenes from that too. So I think he'll be good in that. I'd like to see him get some like...
Somebody made the comment, everybody, you're looking at your next Indiana Jones right there.
Hmm.
And I was thinking, if they do have to recast Indiana Jones...
Hmm.
He's much better than the Robert Pattinson or whatever that they were.
Oh, I
about.
Hope
that
is
horrible.
Happen. That can't happen.
And I was trying to think of other actors nowadays that kind of have the tough guy thing and the jokey thing at the same time.
Somebody had said, I can't think of his name, Face Man, who played in the movie.
Bradley Cooper?
Somebody said
he
Bradley
might be
Cooper.
Right.
I don't really want him to be Indiana Jones. He's kind of pointy.
He's a little too pretty boy. He doesn't look like a rugged.
He's pointy
type of thing.
All his features are.
They're very pointy.
He's Face Man.
They'll poke you.
He's good for Face Man.
If you're not careful, his features will.
Oh, look out!
Yep. Oh,
oh, look out!
Hey, put that thing back.
So I don't like that. Maybe Chris Pratt. At the very least, I think he could probably handle some substantial roles.
No
like
doubt,
some good good action. So. I don't know. We'll see what Jurassic World has to offer. I got to thinking about it. It got me thinking about like when first Jurassic Park came out. That was awesome. Maybe this will be fun.
Maybe this will be. Maybe it'll be fun.
Part of the thing is, I hope they do some... Jurassic Park, okay, they use some CG in there.
It still holds up.
And it still holds up. And I don't know if it's because of lighting or if it's because the first dinosaurs you see are practical.
Yes.
The T-Rex is practical. So by the time you get to the CG stuff, you're already along
you're already
for the ride.
In dinosaurs.
You already believe in dinosaurs.
You already believe that they do exist.
You believe
You've already been tricked into believing.
You believe in dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs were real at one point.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So they need to maybe try that again. I don't know. So anyway, let's find out what our friend Henry thinks about Jurassic World.
I think he hasn't been on since like an early episode.
He called one time accidentally.
He's been a long time friend of ours. He would call to the shop all the time and would talk to us about the different films he likes and the different scenarios he likes and things like that. And he's always a joy to talk to because he's always excited.
He's
the things he likes.
He's a fun guy.
But so, you need to tell him that he's going to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll let him
pick up.
Okay. I'll let him know. So let's see.
If he's okay with being on the podcast.
Let's see what...
Will he be able to hear us?
I think so.
I can hear his ringing.
I think he can hear us. It's not on speaker, but...
Hello?
Hello, is Henry there?
Hey, Mike, how are you? It's been a while.
Henry, what's up, buddy? It's been too long. It's me and James are both talking. We're doing a podcast right now. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, I've been watching the original Star Trek series.
Hang on, Henry. Henry, can you hear me?
Yes, Jim.
Hey, buddy. We're recording a
podcast. Hey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, buddy. Listen, we have to ask you a question here first. We're recording a podcast right now. We have the Action Features podcast, and you were on before. You said you were okay with being on. This is a podcast that we put on our website and other people listen to and that also like the things that we like pop culture things. Are you okay with being a guest on the show right now?
Yeah, it's most logical. That's what Spock would say.
All right, buddy. Absolutely. That sounds great.
Absolutely.
So you're on the show right now with us, buddy. We're going to just talk about whatever you want to talk about.
You like Star Trek?
Yeah, I like the original series, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. But the original series and the original series movies will always be my favorite.
Oh, mine too, buddy. No doubt.
James loves Star Trek. And you know I know I like Star Trek.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
I played the Star Trek game called Bridge Commander. I downloaded the original series uniform mods and the original series Constitution class from the original series. Then they're refitted Enterprise in the motion picture and Star Trek 2 to Star Trek 6.
You go for
uniforms, and then the Enterprise refitted Bridge and the Enterprise A, and then the Next Generation and DS9. I like those. The original series uniforms.
I know you like that stuff.
The original series uniforms are the best.
You went all out, buddy. You're getting a lot of stuff.
You spent all your credits.
Yeah, but I didn't care. I saw Star Trek Into Darkness. I didn't like Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan. Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, that's a spoiler for anybody that hasn't seen that movie.
You can't.
That's okay.
You can't top Ricardo Montalban.
Nobody tops Ricardo Montalban. I didn't even see the movie. When I found out that it was Khan, I didn't even bother to see it.
Yeah, because it was most illogical.
It is most illogical.
I saw the episode of Seinfeld last night where George goes, Khan, because Jerry quotes A Wrath of Khan, and it winds up costing him some big inconvenience. It was very funny.
But, I'll tell you what's not funny. It's Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan.
I also got good news. I got the original series 9-inch Playmates, the whole crew. Scotty, Kirk.
That's great news.
That is good news. That is good news.
It's 9-inch Playmates, Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Scotty, Sulu, Chekhov, and O'Hara. Two Kirks. The one with the gold shirt and the green wraparound shirt. The Edmund from the second season.
That is most logical.
That's a great thing you've done.
And then I got also the 16-piece Micro Machines set,
I do know.
With vehicles.
Then I also got the Kirk from Generations in the Star Trek 2 to Star Trek 6, so I'm going to buy another Kirk from Generations and do custom Spock from Star Trek 2 to Star Trek 6.
That's
great, buddy.
Good idea. How have you been, buddy?
Very good.
Good.
Have you gone out to eat anywhere lately?
Where?
Have you gone out to eat anywhere lately? Have you had any Olive Garden or anything like that? I know you love Olive Garden.
Yeah, sometimes I go to fast food places, go to burger joints,
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
Olive
Garden.
Just hang out, get some food, get the good stuff. Did you know there's a new Jurassic Park movie coming out?
What movie?
Jurassic Park. It's called Jurassic World.
Oh, you seem disappointed. You don't seem like you're excited.
Yeah, but I like the original 93.
That's true. You stick with the original.
What about Jurassic Park 2 and 3?
They're all right. The original was the best.
I agree.
I
saw it with my dad the first time.
What about Star Wars Episode 7? Are you excited about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I like the original trilogy, Episode 1.
Well, you're sticking to your guns, man.
Oh, you liked Episode 1, though.
Well, the only thing I cared about was Darth Maul's double-bladed lightsaber.
Good thinking, man.
Well, hold on. I thought you liked Revenge of the Sith. Do you not like Revenge of the Sith?
It was good. It was good, It was all right.
Well, you've had more time to look at it and think about it over years and form your full opinion on it,
But, buddy, Luke Skywalker's back.
Yeah? I just have a question. What was the difference in Star Trek IV with the Saratoga and the Reliant? Anything different between those ships?
I bet there is. If you're asking, I bet there is. James would know better.
The Saratoga is a Miranda-class vessel, the same configuration as the Reliant. Am I right?
I believe so, yes.
Just that some of the bridge interiors was different.
That's right.
But otherwise, it's the same ship. So my favorite ship is a Constitution-class ship. I always loved those ships.
Oh, they're the best.
But which do you like better, the refit or the original series style?
I really like the original series style. The refit is really nice, but there's something about that original ship, the way it looked, it's just, I really like it. I'm nothing against the refit.
But I have a question. How is the Enterprise A different than the refitted? There has to be any differences. The hull is the same, everything's the same, but what was so different about the Enterprise A? That's what I'm still, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, the bridge seems slightly different, but...
Oh, yeah, because it had the beeping sound similar to the original. Am I right?
Yeah. And then, of course, it has the A on it.
But how come the refit didn't have the beeping sound like the original? See, that's what I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. I don't know why they would do that to everybody.
But I have a question. If I bought a model of the Enterprise A, do I need to get a refitted Enterprise? It's pretty much the same.
Oh, that's pretty much the same. Don't even worry about it.
I wouldn't worry about that.
I wouldn't sit that on my shelf and think about having the other one all the time.
You know, I like the Wrath of Khan, the Search for Spock, the Voyage Home, the Final Frontier.
I know you like that stuff.
You love that stuff.
You love those movies.
What about custom figures? You done any custom figures lately?
No, I want to do one. I want to do a Spock in the movie uniform, 9-inch. I want to get another Generation's Kirk and probably one No Man's Gone before and just swap the uniforms.
You're not going to try and sell them or anything. That's fine. It's just for your own personal collection.
Because, you know, Star Trek, I always wanted to see. I like the Excelsior, too, about Sulu commanding the Excelsior was so cool because of the Excelsior. It was a great ship, too. I like the Excelsior.
Sulu.
It's a great ship. And Sulu was a great captain.
Yeah. Yeah, but how is he different in style? See, that's what I understand.
What do you mean?
How is he different in style?
Oh, how's he different than styles? Oh, because Sulu's way better than styles.
Styles really? From Teen Wolf?
Yeah. Come on,
because,
man.
See, the thing is, remember at the end of
Star Trek, you don't like styles, do you?
No, Sulu
all the way.
Styles from Teen Wolf?
No, not Styles from Teen Wolf.
I'm lost.
I have good news for you. The Federation and the Klingons have joined forces against those Romulans. We sent a counterattack against the Romulans.
That's good news. That's great news.
I'm happy to hear that.
I was sweating bullets over
here.
Do you
like the Next Generation yourself? Do you like Picard and Riker?
Oh, you know how I feel about it, buddy. Nothing's as good as originals.
Of course. What about Sisko on Deep Space Nine?
I like Deep Space Nine okay. I think Enterprise is my favorite after the original series, actually. I really like the Enterprise.
Yeah, because see, the thing is, Jim, that Sisko went back in time with Kirk and the Tribbles and they recreated the whole set.
That was great. That was fantastic.
Yes. I think I'm gonna get an original series costume with the gold shirt and
it's for you to wear?
You absolutely should do that.
You should do that.
I want to.
Well your Terminator costume was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the Terminator still?
Yeah, I still do.
I know you do, because it's a great movie.
Oh, yeah, of course. See, and you guys, you know, I guys don't call you too much because I want to respect your wishes.
That's right.
You're doing good.
That's doing good because when you call at work, that sometimes can be a little bit disruptive.
Right.
But
yeah, and I don't want to do that. I want to be like a good captain and a good crew.
There you go,
guys,
buddy. Hey, are you still into Batman? You still liking Batman?
Yeah.
What about
Batman. I like Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever. I don't care for Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's the right move.
Nobody cares for Batman and Robin. But what do you think about when Robin took out the Batmobile in Batman Forever?
Yeah, that was cool.
What did he say? What was he saying?
Let's get a ride in my love machine, baby.
That's right. All right. Take a ride in my love machine, baby.
One of my favorite things that Henry does, and you don't have to do it on the show, but one of my favorite things that you do is when you do the computer voice of the where it's more like a Batman voice, where it talks about how the only thing that's left of the Batmobile is the Batpod. That's one of my favorite things.
You see the Dark Knight Rises? He returned in the Batpod.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
You should have saw it.
I didn't see it. Nah. But you do a great voice. You do some great voices, and it's always a treat whenever you do those.
Yeah, because, see, what did you think about Star Trek Generations? Did you like Generations?
It's good and that's got Kirk in it. I like Kirk, but I don't really like a lot of the other stuff in that. I didn't like Kirk's death.
That was crazy. I didn't like the. Did you like the Enterprise E or the D better? I like the D better because
the D's way
the
better.
Enterprise, because the E they made it more to a military ship. I didn't like the gray shouldered uniforms in First Contact. No, I like the early DS9 Voyager style. You see, the Enterprise D got attacked by the Klingons, so did the Enterprise A. But they didn't have to separate the saucer like the Enterprise. I thought it was stupid.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Hey, Henry.
And Kirk's
what would you do if you have a phaser and Richard Lawson drives up with his car with a big bunch of punks, and he's trying to ruin your meal time with your mom? He's trying to ruin the meal time with your mom. What are you going to do to Richard Lawson if you got a phaser?
I'm going to vaporize him. So you have a magic act? Okay, here's how about you disappear and then vaporize him.
Oh, that's great. That's a great line. I love that line.
I'm going to use I'm going to use the original series phaser. Go.
That's great. That'll show Richard Lawson and the punks.
You got to show them. You got to say. Yeah. Well, I would say. Hey, do you like a magic trick? Well, guess what? Now you're about to see one.
Yeah, hey. Then you vaporize.
Yeah, vaporize them.
Hey, punks. You guys got enough cheese in your diet? Well, how about some Swiss cheese? And they put holes in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that pretty good? Was that a pretty good line?
Yeah.
All right. I got proof.
I also like the Klingon vertebrae, the Kavort class, like in Star Trek IV.
Me too, buddy.
I like the D7 battle cruiser, the Katinga class, and the
Vorta. You know it. Man, you are right on. You and I share the same views on Star Trek, on Batman, pretty much on life in general.
Because me and you, Mike, I always shall.
That was me.
That was me.
That was James.
I'm here. I'm here too.
That's okay.
I always and shall be your friend. Live long and prosper, my friends. So I'll email some cool Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, you do
I'm excited about that.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. We gotta get off the phone, okay?
All right, my friend.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, bud.
When you have time, you always can give me a call because you know we're Star Trek crew members.
We will call when we have time.
I'm the captain, and you're a captain.
What am I? Red shirt.
And so is Mike.
Mike is a head engineer.
That's right. I'm the engineer. Chief engineer.
Yep.
So maybe sometime again you can come on again. Anytime you want to come on and you want to talk about something, you just let us know. Okay.
Yeah, now let me know some cool Star Trek stuff, guys.
I'm excited.
All right, buddy. Send some emails. Good to hear from you.
All right, set course for Federation Space Warp 5. Engage.
Engage.
Live long and prosper, buddy.
You too, my friends.
I'll see you, pal.
Peace and prosperity. Kirk and Spock are my friends.
You know it, buddy.
You got it.
And you're my friend too, bud.
And you too, Jim. And you too, Mike. Because you guys shared some great adventures. Even though my dad's gone, I will fulfill his destiny.
You will fulfill his destiny.
You will.
I know you will.
I know you will, buddy. You're a good man.
I'm going to be 33 years old July 14th.
You know it, you're a great man.
I know, and I always will be a good captain.
You know it.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy, we're getting off the phone, okay?
Take care, my friend.
I'll see you, buddy.
And I'll stick to emails. You got it, my friend.
All right, pal.
See you, Henry.
Live long and prosper, my friend.
Live long and prosper.
You too, bud.
Take care.
All right.
Take care.
All right, bye. Bye.
Always good to talk to him.
All right, there he was.
Always good to hear from him.
There he was.
We don't get to talk to him as much as we would like to, because, you know, he sometimes likes to call during we're at work and things, and we can't really do that, but hopefully we can have him on the show as sort of a regular, just give us updates on what he's got going on.
Just have a little, you know.
Little Henry time.
Little Henry time.
Little Henry time.
Special guest.
All right, well, that's an episode.
That's everything.
That's an episode
that's
right
everything
there.
Everything we have.
52 minutes. 52 minutes.
It's easy to do.
All right. So, hope you enjoyed this episode of just crazy randomness and all that stuff.
I hope you didn't.
Mike hopes you didn't, so.
I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed to say that. I hope you didn't like it at all. Okay.
Later, dudes.